Hey friends, I'm Rebecca Miller, and this is the I Can Relate podcast. Welcome back to the podcast. You are listening to Season 3, Episode 31. And today's guest is Brenda Gaddy, and she is a friend of mine who is a worship leader and a former pastor's wife. And she gives us some great encouragement on surrendering. She opens up on what God had to teach her regarding her own musical gift. She shares with us that our gifts are for God's glory. Even if you are not musical, you will find help with other areas or difficulties that you are struggling to surrender. Lots of great truth on today's episode. So let's get started. Welcome, Brenda Gaddy, to the podcast. I am happy to have you on. How do you feel being on?
I'm a little nervous, but I'm happy to be here.
Good. Well, Brenda is a sweet friend, and Brenda has a real true and genuine heart for the Lord. And I really appreciate about that about you. And I've known Brenda for, I feel like, is it going on like 4 or 5, or maybe it's going on 4 years, because I think it was our, you know, it was our time in Maryland, but it wasn't right away when we had first moved to Maryland. Yeah. So now that everybody knows where you're from, I would love for you to share a little bit more about who you are, so our listeners kind of can connect with you.
Sure. So I am a wife and a mother of two. I have a 19-year-old and an almost 22-year-old. Got them backwards there. But and I also am a long-term substitute for Baltimore County Public Schools. So I work in the classrooms a lot. And I, up until 6 months ago, I could say that I was a pastor's wife. My husband and I have been in ministry for 27 plus years. So kind of who I am in a nutshell. I love to sing. I love to read. I love to be just around people.
Yes. And Brenda does have a beautiful voice. So Brenda, so when you're hearing this podcast, everyone, we just came off of Sisterhood Conference. And Brenda is one of our ladies that is going to be one of our breakout sessions. And that's one of the reasons why I'm airing this certain episode, because I want the women that are going to the conference to be able to kind of refer back to something that they heard at the conference. And sometimes it's nice to just have that audio of something you've heard. And then also Brenda is going to be leading worship at our church for the Sisterhood Conference. And I'm really excited about that as well. So the music, I was just hearing them practice, and the music sounds really great. So, but no, seriously, thank you, Brenda, for being on the podcast. And
absolutely.
I know that the story that you have today that you're going to share is going to bring all the glory to the Lord. And we're going to hear your heart on the matter of surrender. And I am excited about this. This is something that I think God is working in my own heart about. And so I would love for you to just kind of start to share your story about how kind of God has brought you to, or at different times, to places of surrender.
Mm-hmm. So one of the times in my life that I felt God calling me to surrender was when I was in Bible college in 1992-93. And I love to sing and have been blessed with the passion for singing. And I was been singing since I was 3 years old with my dad in church, and traveling with him and singing with him at different, you know, events for church, and singing at school, and all of those things. I just love to sing. I think God gave me that gift. And I took voice lessons from the time I was in fourth grade all the way up through college, and just, you know, fine tuning that gift. And you know, was in special choirs that freshmen didn't make in my high school career, and all of those kind of things. So I, as you can imagine, probably a little bit of that dreaded pride word got in my heart a little bit. And went to college and was singing, and, you know, had been asked to lead a lot of songs. And I think, you know, at a point looking back, hindsight, there was a lot of pride. And I thought I was all that. And, you know, I was the one who could you know, take this choir places or bring down the glory of God when I was singing, or things like that, that just shouldn't be. And, but you know, again, at that time, I didn't think anything about it. I just thought, oh, well, you know, I'm bless God, I'm using this talent for Him. And while I was, the motive behind me using it wasn't all for His glory. It was for His glory, but there was a part that was for me. So people would pat me on the back and give me affirmation. Mm. And I remember getting sick at college, and that's so fun to be sick when you're away from home and, you know, all the things. And, you know, went on for about a week, but then it went on to 2 weeks, and then it went on to 3 weeks. And, you know, I was talking with my vocal instructor there, and she was getting concerned, and it just wouldn't leave. And in fact, you can hear a little bit of the scratchiness in my voice. And that's a little leftover reminder from the story that, that everything we do is always for the glory of God. It has to be for His glory. It has to be for His renown. And she, my voice teacher got concerned, and she said, you need to go to the doctor. So I did, and they gave me some medicines, but it just didn't work. And she's like, I'm going to send you to my vocal doctor. So I remember being really nervous because I love to sing, and I couldn't get anything out. I couldn't get a croak out. I just couldn't. I could hardly talk. So I was in the doctor's office, and he did some tests, and he came back with the results, and he said, you have got nodules on your vocal cords, and they're pretty big. So nodules are little bumps that form on your vocal cords, and they can damage your vocal cords if they're not taken care of properly. And so he said, you know, they're pretty big. This is one of the worst cases I've seen in a while. Mm-hmm. And we need to take care of it. And I said, well, how do we take care of it? Thinking, you know, it would be an easy fix of, you know, take this medicine for 3 or 4 weeks, just, and that'll be fine. There you go. Go on your way. But he told me, he said, well, I can, you know, give you something, and you can continue to sing right now and sing for the next 6 months, and you'll be okay. But then you'll never sing again the rest of your life. Or you can take the next 6 months and not sing and not talk and be able to sing the rest of your life. And I remember just sitting there thinking, just in shock. And I had a friend with me, just like, are you kidding me here? God, what are you doing? You gave me this gift and now you're taking it away. Like, this is how, this is how I express my worship to you. This is how people know that I love you. And, you know, just all of these thoughts. And, went back to school and, you know, told, my vocal instructor and the doctor, I gave him permission to, you know, talk with my vocal instructor, and he told her. And so she was on that, Brenda, you can't sing for the next 6 months. You can't. And I was devastated. It was as if everything that I valued or put my self-worth in was gone in a moment. And, you know, I was like, I'll just keep singing. And people are like, no, that is not the right choice. And I just fought it. And finally, one night, I went up to the church. It was always open, and just fell on the ground just with tears and just crying out with just pure emotion. Lord, what are you doing? I do not understand. How could you do this? You're the one who gave me the gift. You're the one who gave me the passion, and now it's gone. I don't understand. And I would love to say that there was a blue mist experience and God came down and showed himself to me, but he didn't. Mm-hmm. And I felt a little bit like Jacob, just wrestling with something that I couldn't quite figure out what or who it was in the moment, and just wrestled and just kind of really wrestled with it in my brain. And who am I if I don't do this? And who, how will you know I love you? And in that moment, I just felt this sense come over me that was, do you think that's the only way that you can love me? Mm. Is that the only way that you can love me? And I felt so convicted in my heart that here I had thought wrongly that just by singing, that's the only way I could express my love for God, because it was a passion of mine.
Yeah.
And so I had to surrender in that moment, Lord, this is, you gave me this gift. And if you're choosing to take it back, I don't want you to take it back. But if that's what it takes to learn how to love you and to express my love for you without singing, I guess take it. Like, I still even wasn't sure, like, okay, I don't know how this will work, but teach me, Lord, you know, because all my life I had heard that you want a teachable spirit, to always have a teachable spirit. David had a teachable spirit. And that's why I think God loved him. And he was a man after God's own heart, because he struggled with all the pride and he struggled with all the sin and all of those things, but his heart was always teachable. Did he always like what the prophet would come and tell him? No, but he always wrestled with it and surrendered and yielded and submitted to it in the end. And so I remember just sitting there thinking, I want a teachable heart, God. Show me. Forgive my pride. Forgive me for thinking it's all about me. Mm-hmm. And I remember just laying that down, so to speak, on the altar and getting up and walking away and feeling just that, just what do I do now? Like feeling lost. Mm-hmm. And, you know, music was my major. So you can imagine, I can't sing. I mean, I could play the piano, but at the time it wasn't even my passion, but I had to take it for classes. And so even my heart wasn't there, and it just was really hard. And I would try and sing in church, like whisper sing just to myself. And I had great friends who would hear me and they would elbow me hard in the ribs and say, be quiet, be quiet. You're not supposed to be singing. Remember you said, and, just, you know, barely talking at times and just learning though through that. God was so gracious enough to me that when I gave it to him and continually had to, you know, say, Lord, I don't understand, but here it is, because I didn't understand it. And at times I still don't understand it, but to continually lay that down. So I remember after several months of this, not singing in church and not being able to sing in class and listening to all of these things happening, and whereas that used to be the main focus of my worship and thinking that's the only way I could worship God, he in his graciousness taught me that I could worship him through prayer. And that's when I started to begin to understand what prayer was, and really more defined who God was, that he was a trustworthy God, that he was a loving God, that he was a faithful God, that he was a promise keeper God. Because I couldn't rely on what I felt he gave me to then re-express my joy. I had to come to know him, not just as a giver of good things, but a God of graciousness that worked through hard things, who worked through the tough moments with us. That wasn't a God who just dropped us in the middle of hard things to fend for ourselves, but was a God who walks beside us in sorrows, who walks beside us in disappointments and in hard things, and helps us to overcome. So I was really just at this point where I really felt that I was getting to know God for who he was. Mm. And it was becoming easier and easier to not sing in church. It was becoming easier and easier just to be in his presence and just to be able to stand with the congregation and just soak in his presence, to soak in his love and his mercy and his grace, and to express gratitude and thanksgiving and all of those things that I had overlooked in singing. Not that they weren't there, but I just didn't give it conscious thought. And the college we went to always hosted an annual conference of, so people could come and get blessed. And we called it Big Church because the school used it in the day and the Big Church was what you went to on the weekends. And so we called it Big Church. And, so there was a big conference and it's a pretty big deal. People from all over the United States came and college kids got to go. And the pastor of the church at the time called me up after church. And I'm like, oh no. He's like, I want you to sing at this conference. I really feel you need to sing at this night of conference. And I was like, I could barely talk. And I was like, you know, growing up, I was always told that if your pastor asked you something, you said yes, like you just obeyed. So I was like, okay, croaked it out, and then went and just like prayed and thought, Lord, what am I supposed to do? Like, I'm not supposed to be singing. It's been 4 months. Like, I've still got 2 months to go. Mm. What am I supposed to do? Lord, I have given this to you. I don't know what to do. So there's two instances. I just hit me. I surrendered two times in this whole circumstance, I guess. But because I was scared that if I said yes completely and went back and said yes completely, that my pride would take over again. Mm. And here I just found this beautiful new way. And yet here I felt God calling me back to sing. And yet I still couldn't sing. My voice wasn't at a place to sing. Mm-hmm. And I prayed about it and just really, you know, talked with my leaders and just kind of came and just felt this strong impression that you need to follow through and you need to say yes. And so I was like, okay, this is either going to be the best, one of the best things in my life, or it's going to be one of the, you know, another teachable moment. And so I said yes and practiced with the musicians and of the church at the time. And I pulled out an old hymn. I just felt led to an old hymn, the old hymn, "Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow."
Yeah.
And during that practice, I could barely croak it out. And the guy's like, "I don't know how she's going to sing." I'm like, "I don't either." But, you know, prayed long and hard before this. And so that night came and it was one of the last services. And so the house is packed. Just, I can still see it in my mind's eye. So there's probably 1500 people there. And I know my portion's coming up in the service and I'm shaken up because I have no idea what's coming out of my mouth because it was croaky. And I remember walking up there and had just been praying the whole service and just tears came. I'm like, "Lord, this is going to have to be you. There is no physical way in my own physical self right now that this is going to happen."
Yeah.
And they played the introduction and here we go, you know, "How sweet it is to hold." And I got it out a little croaky. And I'll never forget that in that moment of me beforehand saying, "Lord, I don't understand what's going on. You've told me to wait. Mm-hmm. I've been waiting. And now you're telling me to come back when the waiting season was supposed to be this long. And now you're saying, no, come this way. And I don't know what to do. All I know is that you've been faithful and I've been called to obey. And I know this is from you. There's something deep down inside. I know this isn't me. This is you, but I'm scared to death because of what and how my motives were before. So God, please, please just help me. Help me make it through."
Yeah.
And I'll never forget after I sang those first, "How sweet to hold," those first three words, I will never ever forget it, but something came over me and I promise it wasn't me singing from that point on because I didn't croak. I didn't like, it just was like my voice was healed in that instance through that surrender of, "I finally get it, Lord. It's not about how often I sing. It's not about me having this great gift, but it's about the giver of the gift in my heart that I know. It's about a relationship with Him and knowing His character." And I'll just never forget it. It was probably one of the most beautiful services I've ever been in, that just you could sense the power of God so strong. And you could see God visibly working in hearts as I was singing. And I just remember just being astounded, literally standing there thinking, "I have no idea how this is happening right now, except for the grace of God." Yeah. And when we got done, it was amazing. I'm sure my husband could affirm that if he remembered that service, but I remember walking off the platform and just finding myself a place of prayer and just falling to my knees and just, speechless like I am now, because I don't even know how to describe what that moment was, but I just remember falling on my face and thinking, "He again has proven Himself faithful. He is faithful." And after that point, I couldn't, and the irony is I sang and then I couldn't talk. Like afterward, my voice was back gone. So I still had a couple weeks before I could really physically sing again. And I went back to the doctor about 3 weeks later. And he's like, "I don't know what happened." He said, "But your nodules, they never should have went down this fast." He said, "But they're gone. They're gone." Awesome. He's like, "You've got some scarring on your throat, but they're gone." And I remember just starting to cry, thinking, what if I wouldn't have surrendered? What if I wouldn't have submitted or yielded this to God? What would my story be now? And I thank God for his graciousness to know that sometimes we need reminders of where we've been and what he's brought us from. And so sometimes even now when my voice gets scratchy, when I've sung a lot, or it reminds me where, check your motives, Brenda, what's your motive for doing something? And so God taught me a lot through that instance of surrender, that I've come to the terms that surrender isn't just something where I offer God something up and then just walk away. Surrender is never that easy. Surrendering, I think, sometimes is the more fun word to use rather than submitting or yielding or denying ourselves and our wants to his will. He has a plan for us, and it's so much better than any plans we could ever have for ourselves. And it's a continual posture of surrendering and yielding and submitting to his plan.
I was going to say, just to interject, you wouldn't have really gotten to know Christ.
Right.
You wouldn't have gotten to know him if you hadn't walked through this circumstance. And that you did surrender and yield to know him through this difficult time. You could have been super angry and bitter, but you chose to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to get to know you better. And that's what we want in our Christian life, is not for the circumstances to change or things to get better, even though, yes, of course, our human tendency, we're human, we want that, but is to understand who our Savior is and to,
that's exactly right,
and to see his glory revealed.
Right. And in that surrender, which at the time, you know, again, hindsight, in the time when I didn't understand, I couldn't figure out, well, why would you, looking back now, because I don't know what my walk with God would look like now if it wouldn't have been for those moments where it, and you're absolutely right. We have a choice when God calls us to surrender certain things. So when we surrender, we can either become bitter and angry by not understanding. And at the same time, I want to clarify, I was angry and I was a little put out with God for sending that to me. But we have to make a conscious choice to either say, are we going to trust who he says he is, or are we going to just try and take this on our own again and go a different way? And part of surrender is do we trust? Do we trust who he says he is? Do we trust God? And if we don't know him, if we don't know his character, if we don't know who he is, then that surrender will not be an easy thing. And it's, and just because we know him doesn't make it easy, but we have more of a foundation of, we know his character. And when I know somebody's character, I can trust them and I can surrender a little bit more to what they ask because I know their character. When my husband asks me to do something I'm not quite sure of, I can submit to that and surrender to that to say, well, I don't fully understand, but I trust my husband wouldn't ask me to do something that would cause me harm. So I can trust what he's asking me to do. And in the beauty of doing that, we learn more about God and we come to know him fully. And so if I wouldn't have had those moments, I think, would I know him as much as I know him now? And in every circumstance where we have the opportunity to submit to God and to his plan, we come to know him fuller and a better understanding. And there's a great quote I read the other day, and I'm trying to look here really quick because I did write it down. It says, for every look at yourself, take 10 looks at Christ, because he is altogether lovely. So every time I look at myself, if I look back to who he is, my heart can be in awe and in wonder, even in the rough moments. I think of Hannah in the Old Testament, who prayed for Samuel for so long. And we see her struggling at the altar and to a point where she can't really even pray. The Bible says that the prophet thought she was drunk. He thought she was drunk because there was no words coming out of her mouth, but her mouth was moving. And she was like, no, I'm pouring out my soul, my distress to the Lord. I want a baby. And this went on for years, the Bible said, until the priest Eli said, well, I hear you. God's going to, by this time next year, you're going to have a child. And she received it and went home. We don't know the backstory of that, but I'm sure Hannah doubted in the process, I'm sure. But yet she kept believing that God would hear her. And she did have a baby, and that if she became pregnant, she would bring that baby back and give that baby to the Lord and give it to him to grow in the house of God. And she, the next year, had a baby and brought him and was dedicated, and then brought Samuel back when he was 4 or 5 years old and left him. I can't imagine leaving a child, yeah. But she surrendered because she had learned God's character. She had believed right. In the faithful creator who gave her her desire. And there are so many stories. I think about Abraham and Isaac, who Abraham laid down his son, believing God would provide the sacrifice. And he did. And I just think of all of these stories that sometimes when we surrender, it is something we love and it is things that are good. They're not always bad, but we have to trust in God's character. And the more we trust him, I don't like to use the word easy in class. I tell kids never to use the word easy because it's not easy for some, but I want, for a lack of a better term, the more we get to know him, yeah. Maybe I should say it this way, the less hard it is to surrender, because we know that ultimately he works all things for our good right. And all things for his glory. And he gives us the strength to do what we need to do. And yeah. So in surrendering, I think I've always had to remember too, that when I give it to God, it doesn't mean that my life becomes lollipops and gumdrops. John tells us that we're going to have in this life, we are going to have trouble, but to take heart because he's overcome the world. And if we are his followers, we know the end. We know the end is that we will be with him. That's right. But in the process of that, it's refining us and making us more like him. And I want that. I just don't like the process sometimes we have to go through to become more like him.
Yeah.
But when I'm through the process and I'm through those things, what beauty and freedom comes with knowing that I am becoming more like him, that people can see him in me and I can be his hands and feet to people.
Right.
And I can live in a freedom knowing that I don't have to work things out. It's right. Ultimately God's responsibility. And if I'm
mm-hmm. Key freedom. It's kind of lock our own selves in because we are trying to constantly control and figure things mm-hmm. out. But if we just move aside,
right,
and let him be God.
That's right. And let him understanding with that assurance that he's not going to do bad things to us. Psalm says that he is good and all that he does is good. He is a good God. So when we surrender to him, even with all of our questions, I don't know how many times I just talk with God honestly and tell him exactly how I'm feeling about something.
Yeah.
But then at the very end of that, say, God, I don't understand this. You now know how I feel. And I always say it out loud because he knows my heart. So I might as well just say it. And sometimes you say it, gets it off your chest.
Yeah.
But I always try to end with, but God, it's your plan, whatever your plan is, help me to walk that. Cause that I've learned in my short life that I'd rather walk that path than my path trying to control it. And it turns out a mess and it causes more problems and more heartache and more stress than if I would just surrender to his plan. Because when I surrender to him, I can lay it down and walk in freedom and I can rest on him. I can take his yoke and rest in him easy, knowing that he is going to work it out. Yeah. He's going to open the doors that need to be open. And I know, and I can trust in him that I'm filled with his spirit, that the next step I make will be the next step that I'm supposed to take. And if it's not, he'll let me know.
Yeah.
But there's a freedom because we know that he is leading our path and he is directing us and he is for us. He's not against us, but he's for us.
Thank you, Brenda, for really sharing your heart today. And I really appreciate it and just what God has done in you. And I know you have a lot of probably stories and different things like that of, you know, just your years in ministry of what God has done. But thank you so much for being on the podcast.
My pleasure.
And I'll go ahead and link where you can find Brenda. That way you can message her and let her know what a blessing this episode was.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for being on the I Can Relate podcast.
Well, that's a wrap for today's episode. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen. I do hope that you will share this podcast with someone, as I know it will strengthen their walk with the Lord. I also would be honored if you would subscribe to the podcast as well as leave me a review. I look forward to the next time that we can talk on the I Can Relate podcast.